हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 64, chapter 8, Characteristics of the Conditioned Soul. Narad Muni to King Prachinabarhi, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:29. My dear King, the entire world is covered with the sharp points of kusa grass, and on the strength of this you have become proud because you have killed various types of animals in sacrifice. Because of your foolishness, you do not know that devotional service is the only way one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot understand this fact. Your only activities should be those that can please the Personality of Godhead. Our education should be such that we can become elevated in Krishna consciousness. Right? So that's the idea in the Vedic training. People can make the mistake to think that the ritualistic activities and all the rules and regulations, that those are the main point. Right? That's the difficulty. But the actual Vedic point is that you should be elevated in Krishna consciousness. That's education. Then, to do that means you're doing, being Krishna conscious. Then to maintain yourself, then you can learn those, that knowledge and activities that will generate your maintenance. Yes. But it's only of value and as much as it is supportive of Krishna consciousness. Right? One shouldn't unduly give it so much prestige and this and that. And if you have this, then we can preach so much. And this, that doesn't happen. Like that. Does that make sense? It's not because you're a doctor, that's why then they'll become Krishna conscious. Or you're a lawyer, that's why they'll become Krishna conscious. Or you're an engineer from IIT, so they'll become Krishna conscious. You know what I'm saying? That's not the reason. That is for your maintenance. And then maintaining yourself, now you preach, and the reason that it has effect is because of the purity of Krishna consciousness. So if you're convinced, you can convince others. But even if you're a little convinced, then that you can convince others a little bit.
You convinced and your IIT helps.
Huh?
You both convinced and IIT helps.
It can, but that's just because you're there. But to say, oh no, but to preach you have to do this, you have to get this degree, that degree, that doesn't mean anything. If your nature, you're going to do that anyway to maintain yourself, then yes, then that's fine. Then you preach in that circle. You know what I'm saying? Like that. But so you have to be careful, because the difficulty is all these will have problems. So it's not that, yes, we preach to the intelligent or this professional like that. It's not that they don't have their problems. Right? The simple people have problems because, you know, you get emotional, this, that. But the intelligent ones have just as much problem. Sorry?
If not more.
Yeah, if not more. You know, because they're smart enough to make problems. The other ones are not so smart, so problems just come to them. Like, you know, that's the difference. Like that.
The simple people, either they follow or sometimes they grossly demonstrate any principle.
Right.
Intellectuals, they make a philosophy.
Yes, they make a philosophy and then try to make it sound like it's all good. And like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's the difficulty.
Maharaj, you see, one of the main duties of the acharya to point out this education.
Yes. So Prabhupada made that clear. He says, you know, you have the basic education and then the higher education is from his books.
Yeah.
Right? So these degrees, these are from Prabhupada. Because these are what make life. Because otherwise you're maintaining life, but for what purpose? So if you're just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, the animals are doing that with a lot less worth.
Yeah.
So then who's smarter?
Mm.
Yeah. like that. You know, it's just the bird is there going around getting something to eat. You know, then it's the season, then they find a mate, they go out, they pick up some sticks from here and there, yes. And make a house, make a home. He brings the sticks and she puts it together and then it becomes a home. Then they lay their eggs there, then the chicks are there, then they run around like, you know, how you say, mad birds, I guess, or angry birds or whatever it is, some kind of birds, and feed the kids like that. And then at one point they kick the kids out of the nest and then they fly off, they hang around for a little time, you feed them a little more, and then they just are on their own and hurry ball, and then back to just going around and eating bugs, right? You know, so, and that's it. So Krishna's taking care. So the human being, then Krishna's given the Varnashram system for the human to take care of themselves, and it fits in very nicely. And then, and it is in supportive of Krishna consciousness. Right? The birds, their life is not so much supportive of Krishna consciousness. There's no, you know. Does that make sense? Not that it couldn't be, but just they're not interested. So the human form, then you have to have a system that is supportive of Krishna consciousness. And then within that, it maintains. So Varnashram is for maintenance. We're taking it that it's some other thing to just control us. But it's actually there for maintenance. Right? That's what causes the working together. You know, we talk of community, we talk about, you know, the economics, we talk, that Varnashram does all that. You know? So anything on the mundane platform, Varnashram takes care of. And then Bhakti takes care of all the spiritual. So that's, okay. Brahma to Sri Krishna 3:9. Oh my Lord, the people of the world are embarrassed by all material anxieties. They are always afraid. They always try to protect wealth, body, and friends. They are filled with lamentation and unlawful desires and paraphernalia, and they avariciously base their undertakings on the perishable concepts of I and mine. As long as they do not take shelter of your safe lotus feet, they are full of such anxieties. Right, so, wealth, body, friends, it's all about this. It's all about the secondary, the situation. But the situation is just so you can be Krishna conscious. But we put more emphasis on the situation. Does that make sense? That's the difficulty. Let us say, somehow or another, in one's community, then when you cook, then on the counter you need a pile of potatoes. You're not going to cook those potatoes, it's just there. Right? You know, let's say like, you know, 2.5-3 kilos of potatoes. So it's a nice little pile, right? If it's less than that, then you're considered poor, right? You know? Okay? Do you need that potato pile there to cook? No, which is the actual point. Now the problem comes is that many potatoes, now you have to have a big enough kitchen or you have to have the place, and then probably those who are more prestigious than have the, you know, the pile of potato counter, you know, and then, you know, so when you're going around and looking at all the big fancy places and all that, and, you know, you go through like that, and then the realtor shakes you into the big vast kitchen and shows you where the potato pile counter is. Right? So is it necessary? No, but socially you have to have it. You understand? So we create all these things about trying to protect wealth, body, friends, lamentation, unlawful desires, paraphernalia, avarice, all that based on, you know, who's got a better potato counter than you. Does that make sense?
Even like devotees, they say that when the situations are favorable, then it is more easy to advance in Krishna consciousness.
When the situations are favorable, it's more easy. That's, yes, for their particular conditioning. But they shouldn't take it that their conditioning is the gold standard. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, have you been to Calcutta Temple? When you walk in that first place, the temple room, mm-hmm. That was just a room. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Then you have the veranda, completely open, high ceiling. That's only half of it. Right? Because we only control half the building. The other side has it there. So you have this veranda that's like, you know, 100 feet long. You know, 20 feet wide. The ceiling's 22 feet. Okay? That's a favorable situation.
Actually, it's one third. Because the hospital behind, that's also, the whole thing is one chunk. Three, eight, it's the four.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, it's down to there. But I'm saying the building, means yeah, the land was, but I'm just talking about the veranda.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
And that's all Italian marble. Every square inch of it. It's all Italian marble. You look at it, you can see. That's been there 100 years. Right? So, that, for the Calcutta gentleman, that's just the basics. But you name me one person in Bombay that has that. Not the Hindujas, not the Birlas, not the Maheshwaris, you know, not even Amitabh Bachchan. No one has a veranda like that. Absolutely no one.
What?
Different in taste, and, you know, they don't have the facility. Who's got 100 feet to make one veranda? He knows that. Does that make sense? So, when they say, is, you know, it all depends on the situation. Which situation? And like I said, one devotee from Calcutta, good businessman, good business family. Then he moved to Bombay, you know, because some good opportunities are there. And then when he started moving with the devotees, he had a little dinky car, like a Wagon R or something like that, you know? But he had a huge apartment, because he's from Calcutta. And the devotees start getting on his case. Why are you driving such a little car? No one will take you seriously. You got to have a big, fancy, you know, one of these, you know, 20, 30 lakh cars, you know, like that. He says, well, if you get that, then, you know, you have to have a small apartment. He said, exactly. No one sees your apartment. No one goes to anybody's house here. You know, we're not social like that. We go to the temple, but who goes to anybody's house, right? You go to someone's house program, they either have one of those old, you know, 100-year-old houses, or you go, you're going to, you know, that, whatever, Agarwal's house. You know, down on Marine Drive. No? That's it. No one else will invite you to the house because you can't have a house, you can't have a program in the closet. Right? Like that. So, they're saying the basic. So, what are these? You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, it's not a philosophy. It's just part of the process, is that whatever you require, that's what you have. You need more space. You get more space. You don't need space. You need a fancy car, you get a fancy car. You don't need either, then it saves you a lot of money. Small place, take the bus, you know. You know, it really works out. You know, you can spend most of your time at the temple. Does that make sense? Yeah, so therefore it's just the individual. That's already part of the process. So it's not a glory that someone that intelligent is now saying that and trying to point it out as if they just figured it out. You know what I'm saying? The whole point is that, yes, it's whatever is, Prabhupada says, you're comfortable. Comfortable means not uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? So whatever that takes to make it work. You know, so if you need 15 cars and then it's not uncomfortable, then you have 15 cars. But if it only takes 10 cars to make you not uncomfortable, you should only have 10. You shouldn't have the 5. Right? If somebody, by having one car, it makes them uncomfortable, then they shouldn't have a car. You understand? So this is just our philosophy. We don't have to be so intelligent that we make up, no, but unless you have this and have that. It says you need that degree. You need this, you need that, you need this much money. And so, therefore, get it. But don't claim that this is the standard. Does that make sense? Because we have to remember, for it to be favorable to Krishna consciousness, what did Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami leave? Right? Yeah, their position, their money, yeah. When we say here a boatload of coins, we literally mean a boatload of coins. You know, we're not just saying, yeah, how much you need? Oh, we need a boatload. You know, that was actually a boatload, 10,000 gold coins, right? And I doubt that those gold coins were 7 grams, like modern ones. I would expect they'd be like 15, 20 grams, you know, or so. Well, like that. Take, you know, whatever it is. Even you take like that, 10 grams of gold times 10,000. How much is that going to be? And that's just the one quarter that he put away. Because he said that you're supposed to take your money and one quarter you put away, one quarter you live off of, and half of it you give away. So that's the one quarter he put away for emergency. Right? So they were billionaires back then, when being a lakhpati was considered cool. You know, when I came to India in the 70s, someone's a lakhpati, then okay, he's rich. You know, and then, you know, starting like the 90s and that, then a little bit later, you have to be a crorepati. But they were a multi crorepati back then.
And upon that, he had a touchstone.
And he had a touchstone that he kept in the garbage. Not the garbage, the trash. Sounds better. You understand? So they gave all that up to take up Krishna consciousness. So it's just a matter of your conditioning. So if your conditioning is such that without an IIT degree and without, you know, X amount of money in the bank and all that, then you can't be Krishna conscious because you're too distracted, then do it. But don't say that this is an ISKCON standard. Because that standard doesn't apply anywhere outside of that particular community in that particular region of India, which is just an area of the world. You know what I'm saying? That's the fun part. Everybody else is becoming Krishna conscious without having that. Not that they wouldn't want to have that, but they don't, and they're Krishna conscious. You know, maybe due to, you know, artarti. You know, it's like, I can't get that. I'll just have to become Krishna conscious. You know? Does that make sense? So we have to be very, very thoughtful that it's just whatever you require. So just because you require, it doesn't have to be that everybody has to know that that's what you require. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. You know, what's at the end of Marine Drive? What's that hotel?
Taj.
The Taj, all the way at the very end.
Asking the wrong question.
Means you always go down to the end, and that's where all the Bollywood movies happen. You know, you drive in around like that and go back out the other way down. Drive. You know, it's like you drive down Marine Drive, go through there, and then you go to the Taj.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you drive up to the Taj in your Rolls Royce and there's absolutely no one there, are you going to be happy? Not one person, not a soul around.
Waste of Rolls Royce.
Huh?
Waste of Rolls Royce.
Yeah, see, you understand? So one has to be very, very careful is that what's actually required? You can just be Krishna conscious. It's not that everybody has to know you're being Krishna conscious. You're just being Krishna conscious. Yeah.
You don't have to post on Facebook?
You don't have to post it on Facebook. It means if you can preach and all that through there, that's great. But, you know, that one has a degree from IIT, not only IIT, IIT Mumbai. That makes it that, you know, now everyone's just going to, you know, fall at your feet and just, you know, become Krishna conscious. Right? I mean, if it would work, it'd be fabulous, wouldn't it? You know? What's your preaching strategy? Well, let's see. We figured out that if you have a degree from IIT, you know, Mumbai, then, you know, how you say, so many thousand people will just surrender just hearing that you have it. And so then, you know, from this demographic like this, then we need X amount of devotees to be, you know, IIT graduates from there. So we're preparing, you know, these 15 brahmacharis to go there. And this way, then we're going to, you know, how you say, you know, integrate this whole community into Krishna consciousness. Like that. And then we've done that. But the other group, they don't like IIT Bombay, you know, like that. You have to, you know, have from something else. So then we're producing, you know, 5 brahmacharis being prepped for that one. So then we get that. And this way we'll catch all of Bombay like that. And then there's also, you know, five brahmacharis that are making it in Bollywood, so that you know, they can catch all those wallets and all that.
Already the age shifted, now bureaucrats.
Bureaucrats. Oh, see? All that time spent getting this degree and now it's bureaucrats? You know, it's like that. So that means, again, like what Prabhupada said, says, whatever Bengal does today, tomorrow the whole world will do. So they're like the bureaucratic, you know, pinnacle of the universe. And so see, now the rest of the India is following the Bengali. See? Like that.
In Kolkata, we see only two kinds of people. They come regularly for class and do services. That are like Bengalis. They just, whatever they need, they earn that much. Uh-huh. And others are Marwadis, those who are doing business.
Right.
And the IT people, those who are working, they are not available for classes, forget about service. And if you preach also, like we start with 20 people, maybe after two, three months, 10 people will be gone because they are shifted.
Yeah,
the class will be here, but they will be shifted.
Yeah, so that's the problem. So bureaucrat. Okay.
Day of India is now
bureaucracy.
Now the current thing is the bureaucracy.
Yeah, because that's stable.
IBS officers.
Okay, yeah, because and that was what was big before.
Yeah, but the last one decade, it changed the flavor. Okay. MBAs, and now it's back.
Okay, yeah, because the other one, it keeps changing. So, you know, even you're in Silicon Valley, it's going to. You never know what's going to happen. You know, I say, it's just like, what is it? From dust thou shall become. So, you know, how you say, you know, you started in a garage and back to a garage. Right? You know. So that's the problem with the IT industry. You know. Okay. I'm not sure, did that answer the question? Okay. That was Brahma to Sri Krishna, right? Third canto. So, as long as they do not take shelter of your safe lotus feet, they are full of such anxiety. So, safe lotus feet, his lotus, they're consistent. They'll always be there. Dhruva Maharaj to Prishna Garba, 4:9. Persons who worship you simply for sense gratification of this bag of skin are certainly influenced by your illusory energy. This is a 5-year-old. In spite of having you, you who are like a desire tree and are the cause of liberation from birth and death, foolish persons such as me desire benedictions from you for sense gratification, which is available even for those who live in hellish conditions. My Lord, you are the Supreme One, but your different energies, but by your different energy, you appear differently in the spiritual and material worlds. You create the total energy of the material world by your external potency, and after creation, you enter within the material world as the Supersoul. You are the Supreme Person, and through the temporary modes of material nature, you create varieties of manifestations, just as fire, entering into wood of different shapes, burns brilliantly in different varieties. Yeah, so it's the same fire, it just has different manifestations. So Krishna, depending on which energy he's manifesting through, you get different flavors. But it's still the same Krishna. Durmar said, my dear Lord, you are all-powerful. After entering within me, you have enlivened all my sleeping senses. My hands, legs, ears, touch, sensation, life force, and especially my power of speech. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Prajapati Daksha to Sri Vishnu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is inconceivably opulent, who is devoid of all material names, forms, and pastimes, and who is all-pervading, is especially merciful to the devotees who worship his lotus feet. Thus he exhibits transcendental forms and names with his different pastimes. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose form is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, be merciful to me.
Can we say the conditioned soul, because this is the topic of this chapter, he has like a sleeping senses?
Like a sleeping?
Yes.
Basically, is that he has his natural relationship with the Lord. But he's unaware of that. So it's as if you're asleep. Just like when you're asleep, you're unaware of your actual, you know, awakened state. So the material world's considered like the soul is asleep. So it's a dreamlike state. You have ideas and concepts of you know, that are a combination of the different, you know, desires and situations and experiences you had that go on in the dream, though they're not actually real. They're based on the concept of reality. So, it's not me.
No, not you.
I used to have that ringtone for one caller. So, this.
Lack of consciousness.
Yes. So all it is that the consciousness we see is covered. Like we have the completely covered, then the, what is it? Covered?
Retracted.
Retracted.
Budding.
Then budding. Yes. So, but it's still just a bud. It's not actually a flower. So we're not actually aware of our real position.
Yes. Yes.
And we see is that if they don't take advantage of that budding consciousness and try to develop it, then they'll move back into retracted or covered.
Yes.
So then that's the rare opportunity, is the living entity comes into human form, because then he's dealing with the budding consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah. So he has the opportunity. So from what I can see is any of the 400,000 can take advantage of it, but actually very few do. Right? Because the activities of Krishna consciousness are, you see that they're connected with the Varnashram system. They're the activities that one does in Varnashram. So very few of the 400,000 follow Varnashram. And then of those, very few are interested in spiritual, very few are interested, you know, actually apply it, very few actually attain liberation of thousands and thousands of, very few actually interested in Krishna consciousness. Like you say, saying here is the, you know, the, what we would consider in the contemporary thing, the IT wall as being intelligent, but then they're using that intelligence simply to get ahead or to just play games all day or something, you know, like this. Something. And so then the difficulty comes, it's not being applied in Krishna consciousness. So that intelligence is there, but it's not, you know, it becomes Maya Pratigyana. So much knowledge, but it gets stolen by illusion that something else is important. You know, and only when all this is there, then I can be Krishna conscious. That's the first statement that Prabhupada said to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yes. We always have to remember that. Is that was his first point. Until India's free, then how can we discuss, you know, spiritual life, which is, we know, you know, the basic, you know, like this. Bhaktisiddhanta, no. Freedom is, Lord Chaitanya was, you know, functioning in a culture that was more controlled than it was at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So then, and everybody's being Krishna conscious. So it's not a problem. Does that make sense? So one should always know is, yes, for yourself, you may have to adjust and consider that. But you can't say that, no, until the situation's proper, you can't be Krishna conscious. That has nothing to do with reality. We're the soul, not the body. So we always have to be careful of these things. You know? Because Prabhupada already brought that point up. Chapter 9, Characteristics of the Fortunate Soul, Bhagya Jiva Lakshana. Briti, having discussed the generic nature of the soul and the specific characteristics of the conditioned jiva, in Chapter 9 the author describes the characteristics of the fortunate soul. And so fortunate means he's come back to his natural position. Brahmatu Sri Krishna 10:14. O unlimited Lord, the saintly devotees seek you out within their bodies by rejecting everything separate from you. Indeed, how can discriminating persons appreciate the real nature of a rope lying before them until they refute the illusion that it is a snake. Right? So as long as we think that the material illusion before us is actually something valuable, it is Krishna consciousness, it is the perfect situation, it is all these things, only then can you actually understand what things are as they are. You know, it's important. Now the process, that's the whole nice thing about the Vedic process. It allows for whatever amount of illusion you're in to start from there, as long as you accept the process. Right? So then this combination that we've been given of the Bhagavat, Pancharatrik, and Vedic processes, right? But in that order of importance, right? The Bhagavat's the prominent, then the Pancharatrik is the generic lifestyle, you know, that connects this and that, and then the Vedic is then what basically is used for maintenance and social and all that, but it can also be used very nicely for the connection to Krishna, if you understand the Bhagavat. Right? And so then, whatever the position is there, because you have 8,400,000 species, you get to those species from the human form. So that means you have 8,400,000 different varieties of intelligence, and views, and values, and all that kind of thing. And then, you know, according to what conditioning, then they flock together. How you say? That makes sense. You know, how you say? Yeah. Kapila Deva Devahuti. Therefore, one should not view death with horror, nor have recourse to defining the body as soul, nor give way to exaggeration in enjoying the bodily necessities of life. What was the last 15 minutes of conversation? Realizing the true nature of the living entity, one should move about in the world free from attachment and steadfast in purpose. Right? So death is not a bad thing. It's not that we identify with the body. Like this, because if you identify with the body, then death is a problem. Yeah. If you're not identified with the body, then death's not a problem. Yeah. And then how much you require to keep the soul in the body, because with the body you can do service. Mm-hmm. Then that's how much you do. Mm-hmm. Right? Because sometimes it seems, I remember seeing one group of Indian, you know, from Indian background. And amongst themselves, they had a standard amongst themselves of how to behave in the Western environment. But the rules that they had set for themselves, even the Westerners didn't follow strictly like that. Does that make sense? You know, it happens like, you know, one of the most common is you can't tie your hair. Tying hair is for, you know, Indians. Westerners don't tie their hair. But you'll see, generally speaking, 1/3 of the people walking down the street in the West have tied hair. And if they're going to do something like cook, wash pots, or some other, then many of them will tie their hair. It's basically the only ones that don't tie are the ones that don't know. They just don't know how to, and their mother never taught them. Right? So that's it. But amongst us group, they had it very strict. You couldn't do that, because if you did that, then you're actually not you're weird. You're different. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, have you ever seen, let's say let's say for something big like Academy Awards, right? All the ladies are getting out of that, you know, the limousine. They're stepping onto the carpet, right? They're all wearing these long dresses and everything like that, right? What's their hair like?
Tied.
Always tied. Always. But now when you see these Bollywood, where the big Bollywood actors are all doing this thing and trying to be modern and like this, and they may do the formal dresses, what's their hair like?
Tied.
Never tied. So that's the thing. The thing, because this is Western. No, no Westerner would leave their hair loose at a formal program. It just doesn't happen. So that's what I'm saying, is we have to be careful that we're not creating our own, you know, set of rules that you have to have like this, you have to have this, only then you can be, you know, it's comfortable, you can be Krishna conscious like that. We set those rules. But you go somewhere else, just another community, they don't follow those rules. Another city in India, they don't follow those rules. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulties. We have to, that's what he's meaning, nor give way to exaggeration enjoying the bodily necessities of life. Right? In other words, we exaggerate, oh, this is so important. And maybe for a conditioning it is, but then when we exaggerate it and then we support each other, yes, yes, you know, it's just natural and this, it's just, you want to do it. But as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, is that the devotee knows that this is not good. And he's not happy that this is what he's, but this is what he needs to do now. And because he understands that, and he understands what the standard is, then with time, gradually it goes away. But if we're supporting it, saying, no, we're just being practical, and we're just being natural, and this and that, and all like that, then that's, you won't get rid of it. Right? Does that make sense? Because we're making our own definition. Because, you know, how you say it, Woodstock, natural meant walking around with no clothes on. So are we being natural? You know? Yeah.
We have Kumbh Mela,
right? Yeah. That's a lot of natural. But the problem is you want to make sure that where you're camping is on the side where they're less natural. It's not recommended to camp on the... what is it? On natural side? Yeah. In fact, I think some years back they actually shifted the camps. Before it was all just one big camp. They actually shifted them all to the other side of the river. So they're on one side of the Ganga. And everybody else is on the other side. Like that. It was bad for those who lived on this side of the Ganga's health. Shiva to Pachetas. A person who executes his occupational duty properly for 100 births becomes qualified to occupy the post of Brahma, if you ever wanted to know. And if he becomes more qualified, he can approach Lord Shiva. A person who has directly surrendered to Lord Krishna or Vishnu in unalloyed devotional service is immediately promoted to the spiritual planets, right? Way beyond that. Lord Shiva and other demigods attain these planets after the destruction of this material world. So only at the end of their lifetime. But everybody else, said the unalloyed devotees, they go in this lifetime. So it's, devotional service is so much more powerful than even the pious activities. Kapila Dev to Devahuti, 325. The terrible fear of birth and death can never be forsaken by anyone who resorts to any shelter other than myself. For I am the Almighty Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original source of all creation, and also the Supreme Soul of all souls. And so, whatever there is, He's the basis. So, yeah. Sri Krishna Uddhava, 11:11. Although the sky or space is the resting place of everything, the sky does not mix with anything, nor is it entangled. Similarly, the sun is not at all attached to the water, in which it is reflected within the innumerable reservoirs. And the mighty wind blowing everywhere is not affected by the innumerable aromas and atmospheres through which it passes. In the same way, a self-realized soul is completely detached from the material body and the material world around it. He is like a person who has awakened and arisen from a dream. With expert vision, sharpened by detachment, the self-realized soul cuts all doubts to pieces through knowledge of the self, and completely withdraws his consciousness from the expansion of material variety. Yeah. So we see as they can move here, but are unaffected by here. Right? Why? Because of the first chapter on the jiva, because of their transcendental position. Right? But if they take up the material consciousness, that's then when things start going south. Right? So. A person is considered to be completely liberated from the gross and subtle material bodies when all the functions of his vital energy, senses, mind, and intelligence are performed without material desire. Such a person, although situated within the body, is not entangled. So that one point, that's what causes it. You're not attached to, you have no material desire for your situation or results of activities within those situations, then you are liberated, right? you know material activities. You're unaffected. But if we are attached to the results of our activities, whether it's gross or subtle, then we will be working within. To that degree we are, to that degree we're working within the material. Right? So understanding that, then we continue the process, and gradually that becomes less and less. The activity may remain the same. That's important to understand. If it's an appropriate activity, it remains the same. It doesn't change. But the consciousness having changed, now its effect will be spiritual, not material. Right? So, yeah. So we're seeing here is that the fortunate soul is able to function here and still be situated on the spiritual platform.
So when you work with detachment...
It's not a detachment.
Detached means not attached to whatever you're performing, but working for the purpose of Krishna.
Yes.
Then whatever the results we get, those are also in that particular quality.
Yes, because the idea, if there's no sense gratification, that means the results you get are for Krishna. Right, so that's why they put that point on without material desire. Because that's the most essential point. Because you may be getting a good result from your endeavor or not, depending upon your knowledge, skill, the situation, the time, all these different things. But if you're doing it without material desire, so then it's for Krishna. It's Naishkarma. So one's acting on the liberated platform. Right? Sometimes for no apparent reason, one's body is attacked by cruel people or violent animals. At other times, in other places, one will suddenly be offered great respect or worship. The one who does not become angry when attacked or nor satisfied when worshipped is actually intelligent. Right? Mm-hmm. So that was the story of that Avantipur Brahmin.
Yes.
Right? He he's gone from a position, then he has nothing, people are bothering him, and he's unaffected. So that's actually the position of seeing. That's where you tell advancement, is that when the situation is not favorable, how are you doing? If you're still good, then it means then what the Krishna consciousness you're showing when everything's all right, and you're still able to do it when it's not, then you know that is your position. If not, it's that you're doing well, and but that other is there, but with time it will come up. Like that. A saintly sage sees with equal vision and therefore is not affected by that which is materially good or bad. Indeed, although he observes others performing good and bad work and speaking properly and improperly, the sage does not praise or criticize anyone. Because it's all carried out by the modes. Right? So what we're going on here is when we say that making these decisions, that's based on the point that the soul has desire. And in that way, then he's the doer. So if he takes up the Krishna conscious perspective, then he's situated there and it goes very nicely. But if not, then they're allowing the consciousness to be controlled by the modes of nature. And so the modes of nature will come up with different kind of qualities depending upon the time, place, and circumstances. So that's why you'll see the set of material desires in one place is different from in another. How they talk, what they value, what they do. What they do in free time. It just depends upon the different situations, because the modes are acting differently in all these places. Otherwise, why have different places? Right? It's going to be the same thing. The whole planet would just be the same. And then people can argue until time immemorial which would be that one situation that everything's all the same, right?
There's a variety of combinations of the modes of nature.
Yes, but most likely if you look at it realistically, it will be Calcutta. Like that. It's just a matter of time. Right, so therefore it's not about the person. It's about that situation is not ideal for Krishna consciousness. So that's why it's avoided. It's just being pointed out like that. But the person, they're just acting within Krishna consciousness under the modes of nature or any combination. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you can't blame the modes of nature for being the modes of nature.
Yes.
But you can't be upset and criticize the dog for barking. That's what they do. Does that make sense? For the purpose of maintaining his body, a liberated sage should not act, speak, or contemplate in terms of material good or bad. Rather, he should be detached in all circumstances. And taking pleasure in self-realization, he should wander about, engaged in his liberated lifestyle, appearing like a retarded person to outsiders. So then, if he's on that liberated platform acting in that way, he doesn't even worry about it. It's just whatever comes, because the material nature will take care. Right? But if you're acting within the Madhyama platform, then you just do that which is required. And you don't do more. Vidura to Maitreya Rishi, 3:7, 17-20. But in any case, others may not consider you very special. As long as you're able to maintain yourself, what do you care if they think you're special? You know what I'm saying? We can see for preaching, but where are the results of that? Vidura to Maitreya Rishi, 3:7. Both the lowest of fools and he who is transcendental to all intelligence enjoy happiness. Whereas persons in between them suffer the material pangs, right? The lowest of fools and he who is transcendental to all intelligence means he's above. So intelligence has this limit. You have to leave. It's like when you go into the building, you leave your coat at the door, so you have to leave your mundane intelligence at the door if you want to get into the spiritual world. Yeah. Well, yeah, because you leave it at the cloak room, right?
Yeah.
So when the one's cloaked by the mundane consciousness. But my dear sir, I am obliged to you because now I can understand that this material manifestation is without substance, although it appears real. I am confident that by serving your feet, it will be possible for me to give up the false idea. Mm-hmm. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Maru demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. Persons whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees who are progressing on the path back to the kingdom of Godhead, the Vaikunthas. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and the controller of all living entities. Kapila to Devahuti, 325. Right? So austerity, it means your performance of your duties. Right? It means because they're supposed to be done. So if it works for the maintenance or whatever your position, that's why they're done. Otherwise, beyond that, just for prestige, this, that, then you don't worry about it. I mean, you understand? That's for yourself. That doesn't mean you apply that to others. You know what I'm saying? It means yourself, you deal in that way. But let's say someone else in the family is being bothered and all that, then it's part of the thing. Protection means protecting their position and social and all these things.
Yeah.
You understand? So if it's necessary, just like we were saying, one wealthy person was saying, they were not one of the ones attached to the big car. Mm-hmm. But they saw that all the people that they work with were. So they had the big car, because you see them sometimes, you know, drive up in this big, one of those big, you know, Kroar cars, and sometimes there's a little dinky thing. And when the conversation came up, he says, when I'm working, I use the other one, but for getting around and coming to the temple and doing that, I use this one. So what do I need that one for? He says, that's only for business. But if you're not in that kind of business, then you don't need one.
But now, for that, we need to know very quite well our own position and to be under goodness.
Yes. That's what manana is about. It's about contemplating and seeing our position. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that means one, if you're always doing that is good, but if not, at least he said, you know, on a regular basis you should contemplate and analyze your position and what's going on, how you're advancing, what's advancing, what's not advancing, and that kind of aspect. But seeing from a realistic point of view, not patting yourself on the back and that, yeah, I'm such a great devotee today. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Kapila Deva to Devahuti, 325. My dear mother, devotees who receive such transcendental opulences are never bereft of them. Neither weapons nor the change of time can destroy such opulences, right? Because one of the qualities of the pure devotee is that what can others do to you anyway? Right? Because Krishna is in control. So if something's happening to you, it's because he wants it to happen, not because that. It appears that others, you know, it's this, and like you said, for no apparent reason, one's body is attacked by cruel persons or violent animals. Mm-hmm. But it's all happening within the control of the Lord. So therefore, nothing's bad's going to happen without the Lord's sanction. That doesn't mean that you act badly. You perform your duties properly to do things. But the point is no one actually can bother you. Okay. For the materialist, it's the same thing, but it's working within karma. Right? Within the karma, then this one bothers that because they're supposed to. You bothered somebody, now they're going to come and bother you. Now someone's going to bother you. Right? If the person is supposed to bother you is away on vacation, don't worry. The modes of nature will arrange somebody else to bother you. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was supposed to be a Mack truck ran you over, but instead it was a Peterbilt. You know, what to do? It happens. Yeah?
Nobody is there, one moment.
Sorry?
The own self. If nobody is there, the own self. Adios.
Yeah, you know, you just, yeah. You know, so like that, you know, you read about those guys who, what was that? Somebody, they were in the Eastern Theater, you know, and got sunk, I think, once or twice, you know, in the Pacific during World War II. Some big, you know, like, general or admiral, I mean, over there has to be an admiral, right? If you're on a boat, you're an admiral, right? If you're on the ground, you're a general.
Yes.
Yeah. So, sunk twice like that, and something else maybe in Pearl Harbor, so many different things that, you know, he could have drowned, but he didn't. Got through the whole thing like that, and then when he's back and now he's retired and he's a, you know, civilian, he's walking along, he trips, falls on the sidewalk and drowns in a puddle. You know how much water's in a puddle, right? 1 centimeter, you know, that's a big puddle, you know. He drowned in that, though he didn't drown when his boat was sunk out in the middle of the ocean. And I think it happened twice. Yeah, so that's, you know, if no one else is there, at least you'll do it yourself. Right? You know, hence the, how you say, for those who don't take the help of others, who are independent in this, then they, I think we have the Darwin Awards are there for that group. No? Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natai Gaura Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, may I have your attention? This just to remind you that we won't have classes from the 3rd, means next Monday, till 19th. So we resume on the 19th Tuesday with only the morning classes. And it will run till after Gaurapurnima.
Means just morning. Yeah. And then after Gaurapurnima it will go back to
normal.
Yeah.